started trying to live for God, that you're met with a little more opposition than you thought you'd be met with. Sometimes you think, boy, I got saved now, everybody's going to like me, and people are going to be so happy. Sometimes you find out that the majority of the crowd liked you better the way you was, and wish that you'd go, some of your family members, some of your friends, boy, it's just like you died when you got saved. And there's an automatic resentment a lot of times when you walk in to a family reunion and say, guess what? And everybody says, what? You know, you're getting married. You've got rich. You're going to have a baby. What? I'm a Christian. Oh. You know, you kind of get that reaction of, we're happy. Now, let's see, what were we talking about? There's just something about walking into a room and saying I'm a Christian that, boy, it just rubs people the wrong way. And sometimes people automatically just hate you, and they don't even know why they hate you. It's a spirit that's in them conflicting with a spirit that's in you. And the truth is, this morning, a lot of them people going up and down the road out there say, I hate them people in that church. I hate that preacher. I hate that. And they don't even know why they hate us. And the reason is because they know we're no better than they are. They know we're just as sorry as they are. So what gives us the right to get in here and claim we're something and going to heaven? That's the way they look at it. Well, I want to bring you a message on that this morning. And look at John chapter 15 and verse number 19. John chapter 15 and verse number 19. Well, look at what he said in verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's a consoling thought. At least we know we're identified with the Lord Jesus. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The Lord said, he said, I'm not of this world. And he said, they're going to love who is of them. You mark it down, friend. If the world loves something, something's wrong with it. You can mark that down in your book. That's an infallible law of God. If the world's gone crazy over somebody, I'm talking about the world in general, the masses of mankind, sinful masses of mankind, if they love something, something's bad wrong with it. Bad wrong. They hated Jesus Christ and nailed him to a tree. I don't have any doubt in my mind, if the Lord Jesus Christ were here today, they'd give him the same treatment. Amen? Some famous singer, I give you these quotes sometime when I got my book with me, said, I read yesterday, I believe it was, said, if Jesus Christ were here today, he would be treated for mental illness and be locked up in an insane asylum for the claims that he made. That's probably true. That's probably true. The world naturally hates the Lord. And they don't even know why. Just as the Savior said, the world has always hated Christians. Partly because of the claims of Christianity. It bothers the world that Christians can boast about a lot of things that the world's looking for, and yet we give up the world and we get what they really want trying to grab the world. Now what that means is this. That means, what does the world want? Everybody out there in the world wants what? They want to be happy. And they're trying their best to be happy, and the more they try to be happy, the less happy they are. You take famous people that got lots of money and movie stars and things, they take pills all the time because they're miserable. Rich people are some of the most unhappy people in the world. People say, boy, if I was just rich, or if I just was famous, or I was popular, or I was beautiful, or all that. You ever notice how them people live off dope and they wind up committing suicide and say we have nothing to live for because that stuff don't make them happy. Then we're here in church in here and can't even hardly keep our bills caught up, sitting in here saying, we're happy. And they'll say, I don't like you. Because they're spending every dime they make trying to have what me and you just naturally got. And we gave up all those pleasures. The truth is, nobody is ever happy trying to be happy. The way to be happy is forget about it and serve God. And then God will make you happy. The way to be unhappy is try to get everything you can in this world to make you happy. You're guaranteed to be miserable. You say, well, if I just had so-and-so, if I could have so-and-so's boyfriend or girlfriend or their car, all that, you ain't going to be happy. You ain't going to be happy. Because when you get it, you think, yuck, this ain't what I thought it was. And it ain't. You're looking for something on the outside to make you happy on the inside, and it just don't work that way. Happiness comes from God making you happy in the course of doing His will for your life. And brother, I don't mean to sound like one of them counseling preachers this morning, but that's the truth. That's the truth. You'll never be happy till you get lined up with God's will for your life, and then happiness just kind of sets along beside you and rides on board. Now, so the world has a jealous hatred for a child of God. Now, I want to tell you why the world hates us this morning. And briefly this morning, give you this little simple outline that I believe would be a help to you. And the first thing I want to say is that the world hates a Christian because a Christian is one who believes the unbelievable. We believe things that are unbelievable. I mean, and we really believe them too. We don't just say we do. A man becomes a Christian by believing the unbelievable. Now, who in their right mind in a college or a university would believe that a man of a dead Jew, a dead Jew's blood that died 2,000 years ago could possibly have any effect on our life or our conscience or our future in the next world? Who would believe that? I believe it, don't you? We believe the unbelievable. There's thousands and thousands of Jews that died way back 2,000 years ago. And we believe that one of them had special blood running through his veins. And that special blood running through his veins, that we can get up here in 1992, kneel down on our knees and believe that, and that blood that was shed 2,000 years ago washes away our sins and cleanses our conscience and presents us right in the sight of God Almighty here in the 20th century. We believe the unbelievable. But I believe it. I believe that. I believe there's still power in the blood of the Lamb. We believe that Jesus Christ died a substitutionary, vicarious death on the cross of Calvary. That's absolutely unbelievable out in the world. They don't believe it. They believe is that the incarnation is unbelievable to them. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas coming up here in a few weeks. And what we celebrate at Christmas is the incarnation. And the incarnation means that God came down in the likeness of human flesh and that Jesus Christ was God Almighty walking around in flesh on this earth. That's absolutely unbelievable in the world's eyes. We tell them that Jesus was born of a virgin. How many people in here believe that Mary was a virgin when she had Jesus? Yeah, see that? Look at all these crazy fanatics in here. I mean, brother, that's unbelievable out there. The world cannot believe. They say that's impossible. They've done scientific studies, and they say it is scientifically impossible for a man to be born without the aid of a father. He had a mother, but no father. God was his father. There was no human father involved in the conception or the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world looks at us and they say, that's impossible. But we say, I believe it. And the world says, explain it. And we say, we can't explain it. And they'll say, you mean you believe something that you can't explain? And we say, yes, sir, by faith in the Word of God, we believe something that we can't explain. They believe a lot of things they can't explain too. They just won't admit it. I don't understand electricity, but I believe in it. Don't you? I don't understand how electricity can come through wires, and you explain it to me if you can understand it. How it come down thousands of miles of wires and run around a telephone pole and come out in here and hit them lights and make light come out in this room. I don't understand that, but I ain't going to sit around in the dark till I figure it out. Are you? I'm going to flip a switch, brother, and enjoy the light and accept that thing like it is. I don't understand how that a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk. But I'm going to eat the cow and drink the milk and try to keep from mowing the grass if I can. Ain't you? You accept a lot of things you don't understand. I don't understand all those things. I don't understand how God could have me sitting in heaven and His Son be on earth and the Holy Spirit be in our heart, but they're all just one God. I don't understand that. But as a child of God, I believe it this morning. I believe the unbelievable. I enjoy believing it. I get a blessing out of believing it. That beats what politics is going to do for us here in the future. Amen? Hey, let me tell you something. If you're one of these people that is all excited because we have a change of politics this week, and you think, boy, good days are ahead, you're in for the letdown of your life.
Amen.
You know what politics mean? I'm glad at least we don't have to listen to that junk no more. Somebody asked what politics mean. I don't know what politics mean. I know what poly means. That means many, right? A bunch of. I know what tick means. That's a bloodsucker. So politics means many bloodsuckers. Let me tell you something. The government can't give to you what it first don't take from you. Everything government's got, we gave them. They say, boy, they're going to give us it. They can't give it to you until they take it away from you first. And mark her down, brother. If somebody's going to give you something over here, they're going to take it from you over here. That's just the way it works. So, brother, we believe the unbelievable. Our faith is not in our leaders. We pray for our leaders. We try to support our leaders, no matter how sorry they are. But I tell you what, our faith is in the Lord. Our faith is in the Lord. We believe Jesus Christ was born without the aid of a human father. He had a mother, but no human daddy. Somebody said, oh, that's impossible. It's not necessary that you believe that to be a Christian. That's just a choice that you have. And by the way, it's embarrassing when we tell intelligent, educated people that we believe that a man got here without a daddy. That just can't happen. It's preposterous. I'll tell you something wilder than that, brother. Well, I believe Adam and Eve got here without a mama or a daddy. What do you think about that? They didn't even have a belly button. Think on that a little while, brother. You think we don't believe some wild stuff as Christians? You say, you mean you believe Adam and Eve didn't have a belly button? I mean, if they had one, they didn't need it. They was created. God made them. I'm telling you what, this morning, that makes more sense than believing an amoeba got here by itself and come alive by itself. And there ever was nothing alive, and then it become alive and mutated and made it a girlfriend. And then they all had a bunch of babies, turned into tadpoles, and then frogs, and then monkeys, then us. I tell you, you really got to be about half cracked to believe that. I'm telling you, brother, we as Christians believe the unbelievable, and the world hates us because of that. We believe that the authority of the Scriptures is above all the authority of this world. We believe that God has preserved His Word, and we believe the absolute authority of the Word of God. People say there's no way in the world that you could have a book written that don't have any mistakes in it. We believe they are. We believe the unbelievable. We believe we have a book. We believe, listen to this, we believe that Jesus Christ is going to come again and that we're going to go up through the sky without man-made machinery and fly up there to meet Him. We believe that. I mean, like man, it's going to happen. Hell, it's not just something we've heard. We believe that thing's going to happen one of these days. The Lord's going to come out and toot that horn, boy, the archangel, and the Lord's going to say, come up hither! And every child of God's going to go, right right up through the ceiling. And if that happened this morning, there'd be probably about 40 or 50 people sitting in this room all by yourself, and the rest of us would be gone. You say, that's unbelievable. I know. That's why the world hates us. We believe the unbelievable. We sure do. Brother, that beats some of that junk they claim to believe. Number two, I want to say the world hates a Christian because a Christian is one who knows the unknowable. We know things that scientists could not possibly know. Here some of us ain't even never been to college. Some people in here never even had a sixth grade education. There's people in here that probably can't even read the Bible that know things that no scientist knows who is not a Christian and don't believe the Bible. For example, where did the world come from? You know, scientists get on there and they state those books. I seen a book somewhere in the store the other day. It said fossils. And it had these two fossils that you could start your fossil collection. And on there it said, millions and millions of years ago. They didn't say, we think, perhaps, maybe. It just stated it like they knew that that's what happened. I want to tell you something. You listen to me? All you kids that go to school, listen to me. There ain't no scientist who don't believe the Bible knows how old this world is and how things got here. He don't know it. He thinks he knows some things, but he don't know it. You say, well, how do we know it? Now listen, if somebody asked me when the world was made and how it was made, the only way I could possibly know is to have been there or know somebody who was there. Ain't that right? Man says, scientist, well, the earth did this 20 million years ago. Excuse me, sir, how do you know? Well, that's the accepted theory. Accepted by who? My preacher don't accept it. My mama don't accept it. Well, accepted among recognized scientists. Recognized by who? Other scientists who all get paid for that stuff? Were you there? No, I was not there. How do you know? Well, when we say we know, we really mean you think right now. Come on, be honest. That's what's called a hypothesis. You know what that is? That's an educated guess. And what they're doing is teaching, brother, things for fact that is nothing more than a guess. The only way anybody can know how the world got here is either to have been there or know somebody that was there. Now, it's obvious that I wasn't there. Some of you may think I was. And I'm getting on up in years. And I celebrated my birthday this week. And I'll tell you what, boy, it ain't going to be long till old Brother Danny's gone over the hill. But I'll tell you something. Let me tell you something, brother. I was not there. I like old J. Harold Smith. You know, Brother Smith, he's getting on up in years and his hair's just completely white. And a little boy come running up to him one time. He said, talking about Noah's Ark. He said, Brother Smith, was you on the ark? He said, no, son, I was not on the ark. Little boy said, well, how come you didn't drown? I mean, he was convinced. He was convinced that preacher was that old. Now, he wasn't here. I wasn't here. You wasn't here. Your grandma wasn't here. Papa wasn't here. Great-grandma wasn't. But I knew somebody that was here. He is the Lord God. And he wrote in his book, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what people don't know? You know why a lot of people reject the idea of God out in the world? Because of retarded children and war. People say, there can't be a God. Because if there was a God, why do we have children that are born mentally retarded or deformed or don't have their faculties? Why would God allow that? Why is there war and suffering in the world? There ain't no God, or it wouldn't be this way. Now, the Christian knows that. The educational world don't know it. The scientific world don't know it. We know it. I know why there's suffering in the world. Do you want me to tell you why? There's suffering in the world because of sin. Sin brought a curse on the world, and therefore the curse brought shame and suffering. And God chose in His sovereignty to let that curse run its course until He puts a stop to it one day. We know and understand why they know things that are unknowable. I'll tell you something else. We know where we're going when we die. We know what's going to happen in the future. A Christian knows the unknowable. He knows things that there just ain't no way people can know without being a child of God. You know, these old magazines, every time you go in the grocery store, they say, scientists have proved life after death. Scientists see soul leave body. Scientists confirm that somebody saw the great bright light when they died. Every one of them people that ever die, they all go to heaven. You ever notice that? It don't ever say they fell into the flames of hell and then come back. No, no, no. They don't want you to think that. They want you to think that all is well and that everybody's going to a blissful light and all of that kind of thing. But Christians know the unknowable. We know that the rapture of the church is going to come. We know that our present political scene is doing nothing but setting the stage for the Antichrist who will run the world for 3.5 years. We know the mark of the beast is coming. We know that God will preserve a remnant of Jewish people through the tribulation. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth and set up a kingdom for 1,000 years of peace on earth. We know that then people are going to lose their heads. We know that they're going to live in heaven forever and ever and ever. And we're going to have peace and joy and happiness. A Christian knows the unknowable. Now let me say thirdly this morning quickly. A Christian is one, they hate us, because a Christian is one who does the impossible. You know, Christians can do things that are impossible for the world to do. God does through us what men cannot do. Did you know it's impossible for you to overcome sin by yourself? I heard people say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I quit drinking or I quit this or that, and I'm not a Christian. That proves my willpower is just as strong as what you Christians got. You look at a person like that, they've some other big sin in their life they can't handle. I'll guarantee you that. It's their temper, or it's their lust, or it's their ability, something about it. You can't control sin. You can't control your appetites without being a child of God. The power of God moves in you as a Christian and gives you the power to bring your flesh under subjection. You can't do it. I'll tell you something you can do as a child of God. You can love the unlovable. You know, some people just love the ones that's easy to love. But as a Christian, you can love somebody that it's hard to love. You know, you meet some people in this world that it's very difficult to love. Have you ever met anybody that it just takes all you can do and you have to just bite your tongue and everything? Oh boy, I'm going to slap her. I'm going to hit him. Lord, if he says one more word, my boss, I'm going to floor him here. You know what God can do? God can help you to love the unlovable. He can do it. He can give you supernatural love that you don't have in yourself to pray for your enemies. A Christian can do. Hey, how many men do you know that can fall into a hungry lion's den with the lion starving to death and lay down and sleep with them all night long and the lion's not touching? How many men do you know that can go into a fire and walk in the fire and all the fire does is burn the ropes off of them? Christians can do what's impossible to do. Let me tell you right now, still in our day and time, Christians are enduring some things that it's impossible for people to go through. I had a friend of mine, a Christian lady, used to call me to pray for her all the time. And I'd like to tell you what she went through. I don't see how one person could stand what she went through. You've seen her standing through it all. I've seen her stand in church and look up like this and just sing how great thou art and praise the Lord and things like that. When I knew her husband was running around on her, she had been raped. She had been beat, busted up her body. She had to go to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist bought her a brand new car to try to get her to run off with him. And I mean, all this while she was in so-called therapy, getting over the rape and family problems and everything like that. And he'd come by and see her, and she'd just say, well, praise the Lord, it's a wonderful day, isn't it? And she blew that psychiatrist's mind. He said, "You beat all I ever seen, woman." And that guy fell in love with her. Here's this psychiatrist. That was very timely. Here's this psychiatrist, brother, got all those wicked women, head over the psychiatry department of a big university that I won't mention right now. And Eric, he comes to this, and here's this Christian woman just saying, "Praise the Lord." He said, "Would you go out with me?" "Why, no, sir, that'd be a sin. I believe I'm supposed to be for my husband." I mean, he just blew this educated guy's mind. He said, "Man, you ain't like all the rest." Bought her a brand new car and set it there. Brought her out. I mean, he said, "There it is, brand new. Here's the key." Something like $20,000. And she said, "Oh, I can't accept that. I'm a married woman." He goes, "Wow, this woman beats all I ever seen in my life. A Christian can do things like that." According to that, I know a lot of ladies that ain't Christians. But you know what? Christian will do what, if a Christian will do what they can do, God will make up the slack and do what you can't do. I believe if a child of God gives it his best shot, you may seem to fail, but if you give it your best, God will just pick you up and take you on. I like that illustration where that Sunday school teacher came in. She told her kids, she said, "Now kids, you do something next week, illustrate it with a Bible verse." Next Sunday morning, here come a little fella in. She said, "All right, little boy, stand up." He stood up, had a little candle. And he lit the candle. He said, "Oh, that's very good, son. What's your Bible verse?" He said, "Ye are the light of the world." Very good. That's a good illustration. Another little kid come up, had a salt shaker. And he stood up there, put out a little salt like that. "What's your Bible verse, son?" "Ye are the salt of the earth." Very good, very good. Next little kid came up there, had a little bitty banny egg sitting there like that. Everybody looked at it. They said, "What in the world's that for?" He said, "That's for my Bible verse." They said, "Son, that don't make no sense. Little banny egg laying there." Said, "What's your Bible verse?" He said, "My Bible verse is, she hath done what she could." Amen. And I tell you, brother, that little chicken done the very best that she could do. That's what God wants a Christian to do. Just do your best. If you'll do your best, God will do the rest. You can stand when it's impossible for a man to stand. You can preach when it's impossible for a person to preach. You can sing when the whole world's gone out from under you. You can do things they can't do out there in the world. You know, when old bald-headed O'Connor ripped that picture up of the Pope the other day. And, you know, there's something wrong with a bald-headed girl anyway. And she ripped up this picture of the Pope, you know, and the fans booed her, and she cried on Kenny Rogers' shoulder and said how pitiful she was, you know, and shed tears and all that. Buddy, I tell you, take a child of God, they can meet persecution, they can meet opposition, persecution, and, brother, sometimes blood and death and still stand. They burned at the stake. Heard about the fellow the other day. They said many years ago they was going to burn him at the stake. And when they was going to burn him at the stake, he thought, "Boy, I don't know if I can stand that or not, them burning me like that." And he said, "God, if this is what you want me to do, if I got to give my life on the stake, then I'm prepared to do it." Back when they was burning them, lighting up Nero's garden with Christians, tying them up at night, just burning them to light up the garden for entertainment. And boy, they'd burn them Christians, set that fire down at their feet. First you could feel it coming up your feet and then up your legs, just burn you to death while you was on that stake. And some of them Christians would look up and sing Amazing Grace like songs. Holy, holy, things like that, while they were burning to death. And then people would stand back and shake their head and said, "Hey, something, them people can, that's impossible for a person to be happy." And this one boy, they said he's gonna prepare himself for burning at the stake. So he took something the day before and burned his hand. And when he burned his hand, he went, "Ow! Oh! Oh!" And he started aching like that. And he said, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. That's burning so bad, I can't stand it. He said, "I can't stand to burn at the stake. I can't even stand to burn my hand. How am I gonna make it? When I burn at the stake," one of his Christian friends said, "Here's the difference, friend. God has not called you to burn your hand. But if God has called you to burn at that stake, then He'll furnish the grace that you need to face it. A Christian is one. You know, there's something in a Christian that just don't quit. There's something in a child of God that just keeps spinning no matter what. That's what I love. You know, I have always admired that in people. I've always admired people in sports. When I was growing up, I admired the guy who just got his nose bloodied and knocked down and brother laying there in pain and get up, you know, and hobble and try to tackle a guy. I like that story about that fella who was running for a touchdown and the fella on the bench got so wrapped up in the ball game that he jumped up off the bench and ran out on the field and killed him, tackled him. There's something like that inside of a child of God. There's just something that turns. There's something that motivates you. There's something, there's an energy down in there that says, go on, go on, go on, press on. Sometimes you don't feel like going to church and something inside you says, get up and go. Sometimes you don't feel like reading your Bible. Something inside you says, open it up and read it. Boy, I thank God for that that's in a child of God. A Christian that looks at the best side of things. I like that little boy that he's so proud and he's going to show his daddy how he could hit a ball. That when I was little all the time, didn't have nobody to play ball with. You throw the ball up and hit it, you know. And the little boy threw it and he said, come here, daddy, watch me, watch me. So he threw it up like this. He threw that thing up and went, and missed it and said, strike one, wait a minute. He threw it up the second pitch, like it and said, strike two, wait a minute, daddy, watch. He threw it up again, missed it again and he thought for a minute and he said, ain't I a good pitcher? That's what a child of God does. Brother, if the funds are low, we can say, hallelujah anyhow. And if God's a blessing, hallelujah.